630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
All right, appreciate you tuning in tonight. Updating the scoreboard. Rangers lead the Bruins 4-1 after 2. Early in the second period, Mini up 3-0 on Los Angeles. No score just getting underway between the Avalanche and the Coyotes. Oil Kings just getting underway against Lethbridge at the Downtown Community Arena. Raptors 3 minutes into the third up 76-63 on Houston. Rocket, who's a frequent caller and texter to 630 CHED, he's very optimistic. I will read your text, Rocket. The title of the text is "Why I Think the Oilers Will Win a Cup This Year." Now, I assume you mean the Stanley Cup, because just winning a cup could be anything, Rocket. They will win a cup from Tim's. No, but seriously, Rocket says, for the Decade of Darkness fans out there who never witnessed a Stanley Cup, I feel for all of you. But know this, the 80s Oilers with all their talent needed a team to win. Thank you, Glenn Sather. Now enter Dave Tippett. This is your new version, so enjoy it. Right now, the Oilers are first in the league in goals for, top four in goals for and against ratio. The goalie tandem is underrated. Nurse is underrated. They're second in the NHL right now, top seven in points percentage. They have a deep taxi squad, 1-2 in points with McDavid and Draisaitl. Nuge is underrated. Rocket concludes by saying, the team will get there, folks. I have seen it before. There is some positive energy from Rocket on a Friday night, who is generally a positive individual. 780-496-0063. Well, I'll tell you what, the goalie tandem's looking pretty good lately, led by Mike Smith, and Glenn Gulletson commented on Smith's leadership today as well.
Yeah, I think especially if this with our group here in the locker room, having Smitty here, he can lead. There's no question. He's got a real passion for the game. He's a real competitor, and that comes out, and you can see it the way he plays goal. It's the same in the locker room. But more than that, Smitty's a real well-liked guy. He's a good guy in the locker room. He's a good teammate. So, When you're at his age, you played as long as you did, had the success he's had. Remember, he was, one of Team Canada's goaltenders. So he does garner a lot of respect, and it's not just his years in the league, but also the type of person he is.
Yeah, that's good from Gullison, and he knows him from his past as well, and he made a good point. I mean, Mike Smith in his prime, and maybe he's still in that prime, was one of Canada's best goalies. He was named to the Olympic team in 2014, got a gold medal there. I know he wasn't the guy on the team, but still, you got to be pretty good to make a Canadian national team. And we hear it all the time about that leadership. So we'll see. We'll see. And a guy who knows about leadership and working in a team environment is Ryan King, the long snapper for the Double E football team, who joins us on the show. Ryan, welcome back. How are you doing?
Hey, Reed. Good to be back on the show. Good to be talking some football and, doing good, man. Looking forward to this. Weather not being minus 40 out here in Edmonton, and seems like we have a good warm weekend. So looking good.
Good stuff. Hey, you just heard the clip there from the Oilers assistant coach Glenn Gulletson about leadership, and you play a sport where, like, there's five dozen players if you count the guys who are scratched or injured, and every position has its own coach, and then there's also the head coach. How does leadership break down in football? Like, does it come down to one or two guys at the top, or does each position set kind of have their own guy?
You know, I read right off the bat, that's a great first question of the 2021 year. You know what, to be honest, to me, that's why football is the greatest game in sports. There's so many different dynamics, there's so many different aspects of a football locker room, and even how the football locker room, people sit and where they sit and what side are they on, all that comes into play. And, to me, it's, you have your captains, and those are your five, call it general leaders of the team, and that basically there is somewhat of a hierarchy in the locker room, and it goes down to positional leaders, and it goes down to almost, you know, who the veteran status is at that point. And, you know, everyone's always at the end of the day looking out for the young guys and the rookies and making sure everyone's, you know, as involved as they need to be, and they're checked as much as they need to be as well, too. So it is pretty cool to sit back in the locker room, not going to lie, a lot of times, and just see all the different pillars of the locker room working. And that's what makes a good football team is having all aspects of your team firing at all times. So it's a great question.
So can one guy transform the mood or confidence of a team? Like Smith gets credit for with the Oilers, can one guy do that in football, make that big of an impact?
Absolutely. And I think just to use reference to players, you know, the QB is always your key pillar of a voice in the locker room. And, you know, there's a lot of stress and a lot of pressure in those big games. And when there's a stadium full of people and you're in the locker room at halftime and you have all these pillars, you know, say three of five aren't operating well, the vibe in the locker room might be pretty negative, but it's important that QB in that key moment of key time before you go back on the field, you know, his voice gets loud and his voice gets respected and his voice motivates, you know, his voice gets all the boys back on track and keeps moving in the right direction. And, you know, Mike Riley, a Trevor Harris, those are key examples of guys that know when the time is right to stand up, and not only do the players respect those players, but the coaches as well do too.
Okay. Brian, man, a lot to talk about for the Double E football team. Your last head coach didn't coach a game. Scott Milanovich decided to pursue another opportunity, and Jamie Elizondo has taken over. I mean, look, so many odd situations over the last year, and I guess this is another one. How have you sort of processed the coaching change, and have you had a chance to talk to Elizondo much?
You know, well, first of all, nothing but just, you know, unbelievable respect for Scott Milanovich. You know, we had a lot of really good conversations during the tough times we all went through, you know, and it was a very unfortunate situation for him to have to get take over a football team in the middle of COVID, right? And, he did a great job of keeping everyone informed and you know, nothing but respect for him, but understanding the decision he had to make, you know, for himself and for his family. But I'm excited for this new venture moving forward. And I think there's a lot of relationships between Brock Sunderland, who's done a phenomenal job this offseason, signing a lot of great players and, you know, making a lot of good team decisions and, you know, bringing in the coaching staff that he knows and trusts and is an important part of putting the culture of, you know, this franchise back together. And, you know, it's exciting to... Well, not to see the transition happen so quickly, but just to know that, you know, things did end in good terms with Coach Milanovich, and then to move into this exciting new venture is definitely something all the guys are excited about.
Okay. Well, tell me what is the latest here with the return to play? Is there any update you can give fans or any issues that maybe we should really watch for as May slowly approaches?
Well, there's a couple of things in play. I think the one thing I will say, and just to give context too, I'm on the CFLPA side and on the committees that are involved in these return to play documents. And the one thing that motivated me the most this year, starting this process, was that we got to start off where we ended last year. Things are much different. We're at a different place in COVID, and we're moving in a different direction. But we learned so much and went through 6 months of planning and building what a return to play would look like, that now we can at least reference back to a lot of work that we did do as a group between the CFL and CFLPA. So, you know, we're way farther ahead now. We've submitted, or we are in the process of submitting, the mutual return to play document that both the CFLPA and the CFL are confident in. And it's important, you know, just to understand that there's levels to this, which we now know from going through the last process. You need to get it into certain submissions. There's certain processes of approval that we're aware of now. So this is an important step now to get this document in quickly, so we can get as much feedback back and make whatever changes needed to have a season in 2021.
Okay. I know with the PA and Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the league, there, you know, there have been some rocky times, but you've worked hard to work through everything. Is he going to speak, or has he already spoken at an AGM for the Players Association? What's going on with that?
So, you know, props to Randy Ambrosi, and again, being in a tough situation, having to go through COVID, there's no question that, you know, no one could have planned, predicted, or prepared for this. And, you know, to talking 2021 forward, I think the CFL and led by Randy has taken a different approach from an aspect of, you know, trying to truly come together and put whatever forward to play a season. They want to play a season. We want to play the season more than ever. And, you know, Randy's give full commitment in any way to be a part of these conversations. We have our AGM this weekend. We're doing it virtual, and we're very set up to do that. And he's going to be a part of that. He's going to come speak at that. And there's going to be an open Q&A period as well. So that'll be good for our members. And then as well, too, from the bargaining committee and the return to play committee, he's involved in all aspects of, and I think that's really important during these times for the commissioner of the CFL.
Okay, so that tomorrow then he's going to talk to the membership?
Tomorrow is our AGM, correct? And yeah, he will be coming on for some conversations. And again, he was open to it. It wasn't a difficult conversation. We didn't have to convince him. He was open to it. And this is all part of the talks that we've been having leading up to this as well, too.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Ryan King from the EE football team joining us on Inside Sports, also an executive board member with the CFL Players Association. Look, Ryan, you and I have done this a lot, so you know that I know that I'm asking a question that might be a little bit unfair or might be hard to answer.
Weird.
But I know.
But I
know. What's that?
Weird, hey?
Yeah, and I know that you know that I have to ask it. Like, do you feel 18 games, a full regular season, is going to be played this year, or should fans prepare for a shorter season? Like, what would you say to that?
So I really do believe that this is, you know, this is obviously my personal and professional position almost, that it is, there's absolutely, we can do it. There's no question we can play 18 games. The uncertainty that we have from that level of planning is, you know, related to COVID, of course, related to the vaccine rollout, of course, related to fans returning to stadiums, of course. Like, these are all things that you don't know the answer for either. So, you know, we are prepared, and we have, like, there's multiple options in each pillar to play out this year, where last year we had to just put one option forward. So I do think that we are much more prepared at this point to whatever does happen regarding the vaccine, restrictions, multi-provincial, whatever the case is, I think we will be in a position to actually play a season in 2021.
Okay, well, that's good. That's very good. Now maybe this hasn't been decided yet. Would players have to be vaccinated to participate, or would they be vaccinated just as at the same rate as the general population?
Well, Reed, directly answering that question would sure put me in a tough position, but I will say that we are in support of all vaccine protocols, of course. You know, we understand it at a big picture. We've been involved with government, federal level conversations with the health, down to all the nine provincial health levels. So we're all on the same page. We're all communicating. You know, we do understand at a CFLPA and the CFL level that the vaccine will be an important part of putting fans back in the stands, but that doesn't mean that will be the make or break if we play a season or not. And that's important to know, because what we have in place now is going to support both aspects. And even to a point that if at a point, say halfway through the season, that the federal and the provincial governments are allowing fans back in the stands, we'll be set up structurally to be able to support that. So, you know, I am honestly very motivated to see the position we're in at this point. And it's, you know, I do think that there's going to be a 2021 season, and I do hope that the vaccine and the other things can roll out for us and we can have fans in the stands as well.
Okay. You're getting very good at this. That's why we keep having you on. Before I let you go, what'd you think of the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl?
Well, it was just good to watch some football, to be honest. You know, like, it's heartbreaking not to play a season and you know, have all those conversations with the boys, but it was exciting to just have that football feel, you know. That's what I really took out of that Super Bowl weekend, and just seeing people excited and people all sitting down on their TVs watching the game together, I think it was exciting. And, you know, props to Tom Brady. I took him in my office fantasy pool at Crystal Glass, and I obviously took that down, so I appreciate that. But what a performance by Tom, and you know, to me it was cool to see KC put it, you know, play all the way to the end and do the best they could in tough situations. But KC's a great football team, and hats off to Tom Brady.
All right. Well, if Ken Franchuk was in that pool, you make sure he pays up, all right?
No, I got to cautiously approach this here. He was, and I did pick the winner, and I don't think he did. But I owe him some money already from the hockey pools and everything. So, yeah, no comment.
It's good to hear. Well, no, but in all seriousness, Ryan, I think fans of the EE and the CFL appreciate the update, appreciate your honesty, and you know, I know there are some things being worked on, but you were pretty candid where you could be, so we do appreciate that. And hopefully when we are doing this you know, in a few months, we're just talking about football and nothing else behind the scenes, because that's what I want to get back to chatting about too. I really appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you having me on the show, and hope everyone's getting excited about their about some CFL football.
Right on. That is Ryan King checking in tonight, long snapper from the EE football team, but also joining us in his capacity as an executive board member with the CFL Players Association. So he feels pretty good about there being a season this year. I was glad to hear that. They got to work on some stuff. They got to, you know, work with the provincial health authorities, but they're planning like they're going to play. And Randy Ambrosi is going to be speaking to the Players Association tomorrow. 7:22 Inside Sports on 630 Chet. Pleased to bring you an Edmonton Oil Kings score for the first time in almost a year, and you're going to like it. 8.5 minutes left in the first period downtown. Oil Kings up 2-0 on the Lethbridge Hurricanes. They are 2-for-2 on the power play. Cade Oliver has a goal. Dylan Gunther has a goal. So the Oil Kings looking good. They were having a great year last year when it got interrupted, so they're hoping to pick up where they left off, granted a long time ago. I can also tell you, the other game tonight is in Red Deer late in the second period. The Rebels up 3-1 on the Medicine Hat Tigers. So there you go. We have actual WHL scores to bring you. The Oil Kings will play again tomorrow at Lethbridge. So the way they're doing it, it's all home and homes, all Friday, Saturday, home and home throughout the season. So next Friday, for example, the Oil Kings will host Medicine Hat, then go to Medicine Hat the next day. So that's how they'll sort of do the travel and try to keep it as safe as possible. Vic says, I think I just yelled a little and scared the dog. Football this year. Yes. That's good. That is good. Yakishev writes in. He says, good evening, Reed. I think Rocket may have prematurely lit his fuse. Remember what even Dave Tippett said. Don't get too high when you are winning. Don't get too low when you are losing. Circumstances can change fast. Remember the Montreal Canadiens. That is from Yakishev. Yakishev, I will tell you this. I am not going to stop somebody from being optimistic. And I'm not going to stop an Oilers fan from being optimistic, especially after the years and years of misery they had to endure. I understand what you're saying. I mean, somebody called in last night and asked Rob and I if they thought if the Oilers could win the Stanley Cup. It's like, well, okay, there's a lot of ground to cover, but at least when you're having a good run, I think you can allow yourself to dream a little bit. I mean, what's the point of being a sports fan if you're never optimistic or think about the best case scenario? But I get it. I get both ends of it. Like, somebody has texted in tonight saying that the Edmonton Oilers lack leadership because Connor McDavid is not a good leader. The person specifically said Connor McDavid cannot lead a team in the dressing room. I'm gonna respond to that texter right now by saying, unless you're an Oilers player or coach, how the hell do you know that? Because I'm going to guess you've never been in the dressing room to be led by Connor McDavid. So what do we can only go by the accounts of Connor McDavid, that most people say he's a very hard worker, that he cares about his teammates a lot, that he's a very good human being, which to me, those are all things that make up a good leader. But maybe that's an Oilers player, and they decided to anonymously text into Inside Sports with their knowledge of Connor McDavid in the dressing room. You can also call in on the CertainTeed hotline, CertainTeed, professional-grade building materials, pro all the way, 780-496-0063. Really big development for Free Play for Kids. We'll visit with Tim Adams when we get back. Rangers now up 6-2 on the Bruins. Remember, Boston lost 7-2 last night to the Islanders. That is with about 5 minutes left in the third. Minnesota still leading Los Angeles 3-0 late in the second period. 12 minutes into the game between the Avalanche and the Coyotes, no score. Oil Kings still up 2-0 on Lethbridge, about 4.5 minutes left in the first period. First game of the season for the Oil Kings, and the Raptors in action as well, up 95-88 on Houston. So the Rockets trying to claw their way in back into that one. 9:17 left in the fourth quarter. We'll keep you updated. We have kept you updated over, well, really the last few years now on Inside Sports. First about an organization that was simply called Free Footy, and it eventually changed its name to Free Play for Kids. And we have often talked to the outstanding human being behind this organization, though I know he's going to deflect the credit whenever I say that. But I'm pleased to welcome back to the show the founder and director of Free Play for Kids, the one and only Tim Adams. Tim, hope you're doing well, sir. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for pumping my my ego. That's very nice of you to do, Reed. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show because you're the one doing all the hard work and doing a lot of great work in the community. And that's kind of where I want to dive in and start tonight. And I should tell people, if they just simply Google Free Play for Kids or check it out on globalnews.ca, they can also read about this story. But I'm glad that you are on to tell it yourself. Tell me about the tale of the outdoor hockey rink here.
Okay, this is the best story. If you don't know, we started as Free Footy, which was a soccer program for marginalized and at-risk and vulnerable youth. Then we turned to, why would you do soccer in a city that's cold 8 months of the year? And that spawned into football and basketball and, of course, hockey, the beloved sport in this city and this country. And this year we really ratcheted it up of really wanting to use hockey as a great tool for social integration, for welcoming new Canadians to Canada, and, you know, understanding a little bit about this city and the culture that makes up Edmonton. When you go everywhere and you see an Oilers billboard all over the place, like, what is that? If you're coming here as a new Canadian, it's a very hard turn. So we wanted to give that basic understanding. And we've been doing that with street hockey. Well, this year we're like, okay, we want to step that up a notch. Like, how do we get kids on ice? And Taryn Berry, who is our director of our hockey program, who's an amazing human being, who's doing her PhD at the University of Alberta and worked for Hockey Canada for a long time, has taken up the task of leading our hockey program, has said, yeah, we can do this. And we have a whole bunch of junior high and high school kids who are learning how to play hockey. And we started by equipping them with some gear from our friends at Sports Central. And then that turned to, okay, now we got the gear and we got the kids wearing some stuff. Like, where are we going to go for ice? And that turned to working with some friends at the Eastwood Community League. And then it turned to, okay, we need a little bit more than that. We need a whole rink, and we need a place to store all this stuff. And talking with the folks at the Edmonton Oilers Community Foundation about it, like, we need a little bit more. So that turned to, let's build a rink. And we worked with the Homestead Community League, and now all of a sudden we have a rink that is really dedicated to the Free Play for Kids group at the Homesteader Community League, thanks to all those awesome people there, that we can go out there 5 days a week and put kids on skates who've never been on skates before, never seen a puck, never seen a stick, 5 days a week on ice, on skates, which 90% of the time is spent tying skates and explaining why we're tying knives to kids' feet, but putting them on the ice at the Homesteader Community League, thanks to a huge combination of partners. And now we're pushing 300 kids through the rink on ice and learning to skate for the very first time and learning to hold the stick for the very first time and learning to put on some gear thanks to Sports Central for the very first time. And we have a whole bunch of new folks to the hockey scene. And again, it's really just that piece to show, hey, this is what happens in Edmonton, Alberta, and Canada, and this is a sport we can all love if we create some acceptance for it and we create the space for it to exist.
Well, Tim, that is amazing. I mean, I'm so glad you came out and told that in your own words, because it just shows how when you get the ball rolling and you get people who care and you get people who want to step up and help, what can happen. And this is really cool because we spoke, I want to say 2 or 3 months ago, where you were quite concerned about kids doing stuff, you know, after school and where they were going to go. So yeah, this is a step or two at least. I'm not saying, you know, maybe the problem has gone away, but this certainly helps.
No, it does help. And honestly, since that conversation, we had some really great talks with the folks at Alberta Health Services and the Ministry of Children's Services, and work really hard with them to understand that there's a group of kids in this city who need a different space than the rest of us, and that's called equity. And we work really hard to keep our doors open, and we work really hard with, we predominantly operate out of the soccer centers doing, yes, we do basketball on the soccer turfs, and yes, we do floor hockey on the soccer turfs, and yes, we do flag football on the soccer turfs as well as soccer, and working with those folks to say, how can we keep the doors open for some kids who desperately, desperately need us? And we had that space, worked amazing with them, and they're a great partner. And then that turned to, okay, well, we've got this space here to play some floor hockey, but can we push this further to get some space to actually put kids on ice? And that's where Sports Central and the Edmonton Oilers Community Foundation came in a huge, huge, huge way. Sports Central gave us some gear, but then the Community Foundation, we asked them, like, we're going to need to pay for more coaching time, and we're going to need to pay for additional bus time to get kids from A to B, and we're going to need to pay for to build a hockey rink out of nothing because there was no ice there in under a week. And they dedicated one of the rink makers, ice makers from the downtown rink to come out and build that rink at Homesteader. And all of a sudden, here we are putting kids on ice who've never seen what ice is and have no idea what these blades are on the bottom of their feet, and just absolutely loving the opportunity to play. So just so many people it takes to pull this together. And other great partners, I know I'm giving lots of shout outs, but other great partners like Jumpstart, the charitable wing of Canadian Tire, and all their group of companies of them backing us. Just so many people that it takes to pull these things off. And somehow this amazing hockey crew with Taryn at the lead has made it happen, and we're on ice. Actually, just to sort of read one other thing, like this week the ice melted, so we took all the kids to the downtown community rink, and the kids got to hang out and play some hockey with, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to go to play, got to see Fernando Persani and have him hang out with some of the kids. So just the Oilers Community Foundation and everyone's just really pulling, and the ministries are really pulling in the right direction for some seriously vulnerable people.
Well, Tim, this is such a positive story, and I want to ask you a couple other things here. Tim Adams is on the show, the founder and director of Free Play for Kids, and again, it started as Free Footy, and that's when you and I first started talking about this. Like, can you even estimate how many kids and families have benefited from what you've been doing over the years along the way? Maybe that's hard to quantify, but I mean, you obviously have found something that there was a need for, whether people knew it or not at the time.
We don't have a good sense of the numbers, and that, you know, it's in the tens of thousands. But with COVID, the interesting part, what's happened is our registration numbers went way down because of all the things that are happening. And there's just so many reasons for that. And what that actually allowed us to do was we could never think of, like, we had to offer the program 1 to 2 days a week for kids throughout the year. But with the registration numbers being a bit lower than historically, we've actually been able to flip that over. So now kids can come every single day after school. So Monday they might play hockey, Tuesday they play football, Wednesday they play soccer, Friday, I'll skip Thursday, they'll play the other sport that they're missing out of the four. And then Thursday, it's allowed us to add an adventure day where we take them downhill skiing and taught them how to downhill ski and taking them tubing at the Edmonton Ski Club. So all of a sudden, we've gone from a huge, huge number of kids that could only come 1 to 2 days a week to a bit smaller number right now during COVID, who can have access to the program every single day of the week. You can play hockey, soccer, basketball, and football, flag football, of course, 4 days, one of those days a week. And then they get to actually go downhill skiing or go tubing at the moment, which we call an adventure day. They have 5 days a week of dedicated programming with great youth leaders who have degrees in social work and education and all this stuff, and coaches who are certified beyond the nines. We're completely flipping the access. So now all of a sudden, a day a week of programming, in 1 week, we've done over a month worth of programming in 1 week for some of these kids, and provided a critical after-school childcare space for parents who, where do your kids go after school? And if you don't, can't afford childcare, which we all know is a massive problem. So there's been lots of great iterations out of COVID, as terrible as it sounds. And again, answering your question a very long way, tens of thousands of children, and now we have a much smaller number, but they're coming every single day and getting to experience some of the big sports in this city that we really care about, soccer, hockey, football, and basketball, in a really meaningful, intentional way, and then getting those other experiences that are so privilege-based of, like, going downhill skiing is just, it's so rife with privilege, and now we're cracking that one, too. So just so proud of everyone on the team to create this space for kids.
Well, you should be proud, Tim, and I think the city should be proud of you as well. This is a great story about the outdoor rink, and it just thanks for filling us in on everything going on with Free Play for Kids. Where can people find out more, or if they want to help, how can they get involved?
Yeah, just go to freeplayforkids.com, and a final shout-out, because I know this is your audience base, just to the Oilers and the Community Foundation for backing us once again and seeing a need and seeing a hole and stepping up when the time was most desperate. As you know from our conversation 2 months ago, like, we really needed a community rally, and the Oilers and the foundation stepped up with the community rally. So much kudos, but freeplayforkids.com.
Awesome. Tim, keep in touch and let us know if we can ever get the word out about anything, buddy. We really appreciate this.
Thank you, sir.
That is Tim Adams checking in tonight from Free Play for Kids. Again, he gave you the website, freeplayforkids.com. You can check it out, globalnews.ca, Free Play for Kids program, gifted outdoor rink in Edmonton. He filled you in on that story. It's pretty incredible. And yeah, Tim just started doing this because he thought there was a need. He loved doing it. He cared. And look what he's done in a few years, and it continues to grow and grow and grow. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. It is 7:46 Inside Sports on Chet. All right. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. The person who wrote in about Connor McDavid not being a good leader has written back on the text line. He calls himself Sport Guy Northside. I appreciate it because it's a really good text you wrote back, and there's a lot I think I'm going to respond to here. So Sport Guy Northside says, "Hey, Reed, I appreciate you making the comment on air regarding my thoughts about Connor McDavid. Just so you know, I'm a diehard Edmonton Oilers fan since the 1980s. I bleed Oilers colors. I hope they have the ability to win a cup soon. However, since Pronger led the team to the cup, leadership has been lacking in the group. Connor leads with his points, but he is quiet on the bench, and I'm sure it's the same way in the dressing room. I mean, look at his interviews. Very short. We need somebody vocal to lead this time and show Connor what he needs to work on. Reed, come on. We have talent, but leadership brings us to the cup." Sport Guy North Side. Okay, I disagree with most of what you said, quite frankly, Sports Guy North Side. And I really don't know where you're coming from with this. First of all, yeah, you know who else is a terrible interview? Sidney Crosby. You think he's a bad leader? So, all right, so maybe he's quiet in interviews. He doesn't reveal a lot. Fair enough. Maybe he is quiet in the dressing room. Fair enough. And I'm going to tell you something else. You said we have the talent, but leadership brings us the cup. Quite frankly, as well as the Oilers are doing lately, Sport Guy Northside, I'm not sure they do have the talent to win a Stanley Cup. They are a hell of a lot better than they have been in recent years. We'll see how the season plays out, but I'm going to stick with what I've been saying about this team for the last year and a half. They're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. And I don't think that Connor McDavid's leadership ability is what is holding the Oilers back. Now, I do agree when you said that he needs someone to, what did you say? He said something that he needs someone to teach him stuff. Well, of course he does. That's why they need a coach. And I do think Dave Tippett's leadership has been, the coaching staff's leadership has been a very positive influence on the team because they've been very level-headed and they've worked with players and tried to bring them along and get them to improve. I do think Mike Smith's energy has helped. And yeah, maybe sometimes having a vocal leader and an energetic leader does help. But if you are going to come to me with a very specific comment that your argument is the Oilers are good enough to win a Stanley Cup, but they will not win a Stanley Cup because Connor McDavid is a bad leader, I will tell you you are full of crap. Because I don't know how you can think that that's the one thing this season and in past seasons that has prevented the team from winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, the year Hitchcock was coaching the team, they had about six AHL players on the roster for the last third of the year. So I don't understand why some of you want to take the good players on the team and try to find flaws in them and then say those flaws are the only thing preventing this franchise from winning a cup. Now, they're not perfect. They're not perfect. I've talked about it on this show. You know, McDavid, he can check better. He's certainly improved. I don't know if he's ever going to be a wizard. So, again, I'm not sure, you know, who you think the captain of the team should be. Like, I really don't understand. And let me ask you this. What would you like Connor McDavid to do to demonstrate in your mind that he's a good captain? Like, if he talked longer in interviews? So let me get this straight. If the team right now was 3-19 instead of 14-8, but Connor McDavid was really energetic in interviews and gave long answers, you'd think, oh, that's fine. That's good. So I don't totally understand what you're saying, Sport Guy Northside. Like, I do think leadership is important. I'm sure Connor McDavid's a better captain at 24 than he was at 19 when he got thrust into that position. I'm sure there are some other voices in the room that have helped. But I don't know how you sit here on February 26th and say, well, the season's going to be a write-off because Connor's the captain. I honestly don't understand. So you can help me out. I just don't understand that argument. And look, again, we're not in the room. I don't know what goes on. I hear a lot of good things about McDavid as a person. We know he's a great player. The team is 14-8. The team has recovered from a poor start, which means they must have some good leadership and level-headedness in the room to help them. And I still got a guy who's an Oilers fan since the 1980s saying that they're a bunch of losers because of Connor McDavid. Like, it doesn't connect. And again, the guy's not perfect. I mean, we can criticize players and coaches and everything. We do that all the time. But I just that argument escapes me. Well, he doesn't give good interviews. Okay. I think Tom Brady gives good interviews. He's one of the most boring guys to listen to. This person who keeps texting into me, what do we need? I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't want to talk to you. So don't quit texting me that. So anyway, that's where I'm coming from. And that's why I ask you to, when you say something like that, you have to be able to defend that argument. So all these problems that have been obvious over the last few years, not enough depth, not good enough goalies, coaching changes year after year, and now you're saying, no, that all doesn't count. That all doesn't count. They've been good enough all along, and the perennial leading scorer in the league is the reason that they've been failing. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. Cody Jansen wants to chime in.
Well, Reed, I kind of think if they actually thought Connor McDavid wasn't a good leader in the dressing room, wouldn't Ken Holland be going after a free agent like Zdeno Chara, Joe Thornton, like, you know, someone who's a quote-unquote proven leader, if they actually didn't have any faith in McDavid, Draisaitl, those guys?
Well, look, I think Mike Smith helps. I think we've seen that since he's come back. But look, this is what's going to be. Until, and this has happened to other great players, until they are successful in the playoffs and win a championship, they're going to get picked apart. So, you know, I get it. That's the pro sports. You either win or you don't win. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Thanks for tuning in tonight. That was a fun discussion. We'll talk to you at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Games at 5, Oilers and Maple Leafs. Despite their roster and their personalities, the Oilers will be trying to win their 6th in a row. Thanks to Cody Jansen, your studio operator this evening. Dave Campbell's the producer of the show. My name's Reed. Take care.
6:30 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 CHED.